Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get even a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told the disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. And when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. One of my favorite things is family gatherings. We tell stories. There's happy stories, funny stories. There's several stories about meal times, like the time I unsuccessfully tried to teach my 3-year-old brother how to pronounce my first name. Or the time, because of my sense of humor, the punishment was that I had to drink a full glass of juice drained from a bowl of spinach on a Sunday afternoon. Oh, we have hundreds of family stories to tell. And there's no question in my mind that when the disciples in the early church gathered, they told stories. And eventually they wrote them down. Today's story, the feeding of the 5,000, must have been told over and over again. That's a lot of people, 5,000 people. And this is the only miracle story of Jesus that's told in all 4 Gospels. It's a story about not having enough food. And by the grace of God, we heard there was enough food with leftovers. As disciples, we need to be reminded of God's abundance of God's grace, of God's blessings. And we need to be reminded of this and tell these stories over and over and over. It was 20 years ago when I was in full-time ministry. I read a devotion at the opening of a church council meeting. It began with these words: "The desert is a frightening place." The devotion was about the Exodus, when Moses led the people out of Egyptian slavery, and they wandered in the desert for 40 years. The desert was a frightening place. That devotion was about scarcity in the desert, scarcity of water, scarcity of food, scarcity of shelter. But the leader, Moses, didn't believe in scarcity. God will provide. You'll have water. You'll have bread. You'll have quail. Eventually, you'll have shelter, a place where you can call home. There was a sentence in that devotion that echoed the leadership of Moses and the generosity of God. "There will always be enough and more than enough." In the years that followed the reading of that devotion at that church council meeting, this sentence was repeated over and over again, hundreds of times. I don't remember a congregational meeting where this statement wasn't made. This thought is both hopeful and it's challenging. We will trust in God, but we'll also do the work that disciples are called to do as partners with God, assuring that there is enough. We heard two stories today. In the first story, the crowd needed food, and Jesus fed them. In the second story, the disciples needed to be rescued from a storm, and they arrived safely on shore. And Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up in their storm. This is like the Exodus story. God's people were slaves in Egypt, and God showed up to bring them to the promised land. They were about to perish in the raging Red Sea, and God showed up and divided the sea and rescued them. In the desert, they were hungry, and God showed up and gave them manna and quail. In the same way, the multitude of the 5,000, the multitude was hungry. Jesus shows up, feeds them. The disciples were in a storm in the sea. Jesus shows up to rescue them, walking towards them. As we journey through the desert of this world, sometimes it feels like a desert, Jesus shows up. He gave his life on the cross to lead us home, to lead us to our eternal heavenly home. Moses was the central person in the Exodus story. When God's people were in danger, God called Moses and revealed the divine name to Moses in the burning bush, Yahweh. The most common translation of Yahweh is "I am." In today's story, when Jesus comes to the disciples in the storm, and they were terrified, they were afraid, he said, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Now, I was supply pastor here at St. Paul's for 5 months at the beginning of last year. And those who are here know that I often referred to the original Greek, In fact, in the song that Beth Couric and Andrew Rainbow wrote for me, there's even a line that says, "Your sermons spoke of the Greek." Well, here we go again. When John told that story about the storm, in the original Greek language, when the original hearers heard that, they would have been immediately fascinated because the Greek is ego eimi, ego eimi. This Greek phrase, this beautiful Greek phrase, literally means I am. And those who heard John tell this story originally would have immediately made the connection to that burning bush and to God's divine name, Yahweh, I am. When Jesus says, ego eimi, I am, he was announcing his divine nature. John told us this in the first sentence of his story. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. Ego eimi, I am. Beginning in this chapter, chapter 6 of John, we hear seven major I am statements. Read these with me, please. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I am the resurrection and the life. There's a church in the Holy Land called the Church of the Multiplication. With the history that dates back to the 4th century, the oldest part of the church is at the foot of the altar. It's a mosaic of the loaves and fish. Back to the 4th century. I'm sure that back in those days, when they told this miracle story of Jesus multiplying the loaves and the fish, they talked about the young boy who shared what he had. With 5,000 hungry people, 5 barley loaves and 2 fish would be the very definition of scarcity. But for Jesus, who didn't believe in scarcity, it was enough. This story shows us that God multiplies small amounts and transforms small amounts into enough. In our story, Jesus multiplies food. But we know that the ministry of Jesus is so much more than food. When we gather for worship, we pray every time, give us this day our daily bread. In the Small Catechism, Martin Luther refers to daily bread as necessities. Daily bread is food, but it's more than food. The Small Catechism gives us a list of more than 20 necessities that Luther considers daily bread. The list includes things like food, drink, clothing, shoes. Shoes is there. When I arrived last evening, there were whole bags of shoes outside to bring inside, to share and to give to others. Daily bread, house, money, good friends, health is daily bread. Peace is in the list of daily bread. And God also multiplies actions that we as disciples do in our daily living. God multiplies acts of compassion, comfort, kindness, caring, forgiveness. God multiplies love. But even after all these blessings, even after all these miracles of multiplication, those nasty storms are gonna come. It's not by accident that the story of the storm happens immediately after the people are fed. Storms happen in our lives. This is a realistic story. Good things happen. God does great things through us. God feeds us. But storms and chaos are going to happen, and sometimes too soon. But when they happen, Jesus is in walking distance of every storm, of every trouble, of every chaos we'll ever have. God gives us daily bread. God comes to us in every storm. In other words, there will always be enough and more than enough. And this is always true, no matter what we're going through. In that devotion of 20 years ago, there was actually more to this sentence. It continued. And what we have is to be given away. When we give, it's God's work to multiply what we give. The truth is, we have 12 baskets of leftovers to share with others. 12 is the original number of the disciples. God has multiplied that number. Now there are millions of disciples. And that means there are millions of baskets of leftovers to share. Through God's miracle of multiplication, God creates enough. Enough for us to share with everybody. Some among us might not have bread or fish or money to share, but we all have compassion, kindness, caring, forgiveness, and love to share. You and I are called to take the extra that God has given us and share it with others. I believe this with all my heart. I believe it about food, and I believe it about kindness and compassion. There's enough for everybody. God gives us food. We give food to others. God is generous to us. We become generous with others. God is compassionate to us. We are compassionate to others. God gives us peace. We bring peace to others. I'm looking forward to our next family gathering. We have a planned lunch in 2.5 weeks, and I will take a selfie. Stories will be told, some happy, some heartbreaking. As disciples of Jesus, we're blessed to gather every week. Jesus feeds us in word. Jesus feeds us in music, in prayer, in togetherness. Stories are told. Some are happy. Some are heartbreaking. And Jesus shows up every time. So we open our hands. We open our hearts. We lift up our hearts. And Jesus feeds us. and calms our storms. Believe this, there's enough bread and wine today to fill our hearts and our souls. And there's enough God-given love in our midst to calm every storm that comes our way. Let us pray. First, pray for yourself. Bring to God your every hunger, struggle, storm, anxiety. Breathe, listen, and receive. Listen to Jesus saying to you, I am. I am here for you. Pray for those you love who hunger, struggle, have storms, anxiety. Breathe and listen. Listen to Jesus say to them, I am. I am here for you. Pray for the church, especially places in the church where there are storms and struggles and anxiety. Breathe and listen. Listen to Jesus say to the church here and everywhere, I am. I am here for you. Pray for our nation and the whole world. Breathe and listen. Visualize Jesus wrapping his arms around the world. And listen to his voice. Ego e mi. I am. I am here for you, world. I died for you. I love you.